You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
This is the William Hill Golf Podcast. Go to news.williamhill.com for all the podcasts or search William Hill Radio on iTunes.
Hello everyone, welcome along to a new year of golfing fun. It's the Golf Podcast with Dave Kellner, Mike Grenham and Dave Tindall with you ahead of two events this week, the BMW South African Open and the Hyundai Tournament of Champions on the PGA Tour. First of all, welcome along, and it's a warm welcome to Mr. Mike Grenham. How are you doing, Mike?
Good, David. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I'm pleased with all the tweets we've had asking when the podcast is going to be back.
Good.
We love those people, and we love the people that didn't tweet as well. We
just not, as much, though.
Not as much. No. Not as much. Not as much. By half. Dave Tindall. Hello, welcome.
Hello. Yeah, it's good. When people talk about the big three, people presume it's Spieth, Day and McIlroy. It's not. It's us, to be fair, isn't it?
Good to have two of them in action
this week.
Said
no one ever.
Yeah, precisely. Good to have two of them in action this week, and we'll get stuck into that Tournament of Champions very, very shortly. Let's start the new year with the South African Open, though, which is the European Tour event and the latest odds here with William Hill ahead of this championship. Brandon Grace is the 7-2 favourite. Andy Sullivan is 8-1. Jaco van Zyl is 16s. Gregory Bourdie is 20-1. George Kutsaya, 25s, along with Retief Goosen and Romain Wattel. And it's 33-1 and bigger the rest. This tournament, once again, hosted by Ernie Els and the Glendower Golf Club. And if you cast your mind back to last year's championship, Mr. Tindall, this event acted as a catalyst for what turned out to be a career year for Andy Sullivan.
Yeah, it was fantastic, wasn't it? He won this, then he won in South Africa again, then he won by a mile in Portugal, and he nearly won the DP World Tour Championship in Dubai.
Looked like he was going to win it, didn't he?
Only a bit of magic from Rory. Denied him the
eight. You tipped him that week, hadn't you? Did you? Did you back him that week?
No.
Or did you not? All right. You mentioned him or something, did you? No, I thought you did.
I'd done Danny Willett in the Ned Bank, maybe that was fused into your memory a bit. Andy Sullivan this week, though, 8-1.
Are you not sure about that price?
No. You think some of the prices he went off at last year, they were sort of good prices. He's not someone I'd take at a short price.
People forget that last year, in last year's championship, he actually trailed by 5 shots going into the back nine.
Yeah,
on
so
Sunday.
7 at the start and a 5 in the back nine, yeah. So it was kind of given it a little bit, wasn't he, by Schwartzel, in the same way that Martin Keimer handed the Abu Dhabi.
Yep, I remember that. I remember Martin Keimer handing it to someone. That's the problem with it. We were talking about the golf the other day. Gary Stahl it was, wasn't
of course.
It? And we were discussing events from last season, Mike, and it's almost as if they never happened.
We couldn't remember how many times Rory McIlroy had won, could we, on the PGA Tour? Or whether he even had.
Yeah, and he'd won twice on the PGA Tour last season. And
it's pretty relentless, isn't it, golf? So unless you switch off at some point, you'll go mad.
Yeah,
so my brain is sort of knocking back into shape.
And the seasons start merging a bit, don't they? Particularly in the US where, God, you know, it's over 2 years, isn't it? And then, you know, it gets really confusing.
It was good to have that.
Thank God for the internet.
Yeah, that 6 week break, precisely. And as far as this golf course is concerned, Glendower, back to this event, traditional and reasonably lengthy par 72, measuring 7,564 yards, 2 par fives on the front side and 2 on the back. It's a course where you can maybe get away with it from the tee, distance and advantage, but it's worth remembering as well that this course is well above sea level.
Yes. So you've written down 5,000 feet. Probably nicked that off me.
I've nicked that off you. Yeah,
I think I've made it up. So,
okay.
Now well, it is a course that you look at 7,500, you start to think,
length is a factor.
I'm not sure you do really.
No.
Last three winners of this championship as well. Surprisingly, for a South African event, they've been European winners.
Yeah, possibly. I did look into that a little bit. I think only three of the top 10 or 11 were home players last year, but it was the other way the year before, so it's not sure there's any clear sort of advantage whether you're a home player or not. In theory, it's cuckoo, you enjoy the grasses of your home player and the heat maybe, but I think the Europeans have played it enough, haven't they, now? There's so many South African events, they're sort of used to it now, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so. Any strong thoughts, chaps, from a betting perspective, Mike?
No, I'm not having a bet in this one, Dave. It's just a nice pipe opener for the season, get things going for the calendar, watch see who's starting to play well. There are a couple of players that interest me. The aforementioned Gary Stahl was top 10 here last year, wasn't he? And I think he's a good player, but 33-1's not very appealing. Ditto Lee Slattery at 33s, he could have been appealing, but
yeah, I wanted just to bat Slattery, but not
just a bit short, I think. Not horrendously short, because he had a very good season last year, didn't he? Bit of a breakthrough season. So those two interested me. The old favourite Henny Otto's in there as well, but he's short of 40. So the players I was looking at were just weren't any value, I don't think.
I had a couple in mind. Have you got a bet in this event, Dave?
Yeah. I'll just quickly discuss the favourite. I mean, a lot of these events have traditionally been won by Schwarzler, who stays in these sort of early starting events and just looks easy. So you could follow that strategy, couldn't you? Say, well, Grace is the class act. He's now the best South African player according to the world rankings and just your own eyes, isn't he? He's the one who you can trust now. Schwartzel's very untrustworthy, and Oosthuizen is sort of permanently injured.
So if Oosthuizen wasn't injured, there wouldn't be a lot between those two. Yeah. That would be my view. But he is injury prone, isn't he? Yeah.
But Grace, you kind of know what you're getting. He's just sort of an honest, you know what you're getting. But at 7-2, I'm not really too excited. So the one I've picked out at 50-1 is Trevor Fisher Jr.
Yep.
Just look at his record in the South African Open. The last four editions, 15th, 7th, 13th and 6th. Two of those, the 15th and the 7th, came on this course, Glenn Dower. He's also played the, I keep wanting to call it the BFG Classic. It's the BMG Classic, yeah, isn't it? but he's had another couple of top 10s in that event. So it's a course he likes. And we saw him win the Africa Open, didn't we, last year?
We did.
At a decent price when he shot 63, 64 on the weekend. So put all that together, and I'd argue he should be a little bit shorter than 50-1. So in a tournament where you're scrapping around to find a bit of value, I think he's okay at that price. So yeah.
It's not very deep, the field, is it? When you look at some of the players that are 50-1 and lower, you're thinking...
Yeah, for a player who's won a co-sanctioned event with good course form, I think 50s is worth a point each way.
I had him on my mind, but the other one at 50s I like as well. Quite a similar profile to Trevor Fisher Jr. in many ways is JB Kruger.
Yeah.
Again, went through like a patch in the middle of the season where last season didn't do anything. But he's got he played well in a couple of events in December, got decent form at this championship and in the BMG Classic that you mentioned. So he's quite similar, I think, to Trevor Fisher Jr. in many ways, and he's 50s as well.
He never looks like a golfer to me, JB. He looks like he's in a goth band.
He's got a weird swing as well, hasn't he?
He's wearing eyeshadow or something.
Yeah,
he sort of dresses in all black.
He's 50-1. I thought that was
reasonable. Okay. Yeah, Mark Adzed, our odds compiler, I just caught on the stairs. He quite liked Kruger.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
All right. That's his keep for the week, is it?
Yeah.
He seems a fair price at 50s. But again, like you, Mike, it's one where a lot of these co-sanctioned events rarely appeal from a betting perspective for me.
Yeah, I'd go along with that, Dave. I'd go along with that. Look, Richard Stern, if he was at his best, would be a decent price at 33s, wouldn't he? And Garth Mulroy at 100s, but he's gone off the boil. But yeah, it doesn't... I'll watch it and just see who's playing themselves into form from the European and the top South Africans, but I'm not a follower of the Sunshine Tour, so... It does leave me a little bit cold, some of the players.
Even some of that Marcus Kinnock, the young Swede. I mean, we saw him play really well in the Nordea, and then he came 10th in Switzerland. He could be something really good, but we're more than aware of him, aren't we, at 33s?
Yeah, and I quite like the short game of David Howell as well. I think he's played once here and didn't make the cut, but if he gets to back to his best from a putting perspective, I think he could be a factor, because I think putting is very important at this event.
Yeah, I wouldn't be backing George Kurtsey, by the way, at 25s. He broke his ankle.
Did
back,
he?
Back in the last year. He's only just coming back.
I didn't realise that.
Yeah, he's been injured, yeah.
Okay. That's the BMW South African Open then. So just the one bet there for Mr. Tindall, going with Trevor Fisher Jr., a point each way at 50s. Let's get stuck into the main event this week. It's the Hyundai Tournament of Champions, and Jason Day and Jordan Spieth are at the top of the betting here with William Hill, both 5-1. Dustin Johnson, 8-1. Patrick Reed is 9s. Bubba Watson, 10-1. Ricky Fowler is 12s. Kevin Kisner, 16s. And it's 20-1 and bigger the rest. And this is, Mike, the traditional curtain raiser for the new season or the new year.
The charity show.
Yeah, there you go.
Thanks for getting that cliche in, Dave.
It's the start of the two-leg swing in Hawaii as well, this one. And all of last year's PGA Tour champions invited to Kapalua. And this year, 32 of them have accepted the invitation. And
out of how many?
How many have not? 37 or 8,
so
is it?
So 4 or 5 haven't, right?
Yeah, I think it's 37 or 38, I think, in the
most
season.
Most notably, Rory McIlroy.
This is actually one of the, as far as this event's concerned, it's one of the best lineups there's ever been.
Yeah, it's a very good lineup. Yeah, it is. He's about the only big name missing, isn't he, that I can think of anyway.
Yeah. So it's a good field for this year's championship.
Great field, yeah.
As is always the case, scoring will be low.
Yep.
Dependent on the trade winds. If they get up, it's slightly more difficult.
Though, is it? It's Kona winds, apparently.
Is it Kona winds? Yeah. I thought it was trade winds.
Which sounds like a bit like geeky, doesn't it, to be talking about winds? But it suggests maybe a first-timer or could have more of a chance than normal because it's against what they normally...
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it's against what they're used to.
Oh, I didn't realise that. That is interesting. So it's completely different wind than they usually have.
It's a different wind than usual than it usually is here at this course.
Yeah, it's normally the trade winds maybe are prevalent maybe like 90% of the time, but it's meant to be Kona winds, which are completely different direction. So all those players who played it before used to it will now have to sort of adapt. A first timer just goes with the flow, doesn't it?
Right. Okay. That's interesting. Yeah. Kapalua has been a long time host of this event
Time. Yeah. Well, it's had tour events for a long time, wasn't it? You know, even going back to when it used to have a non-official event, didn't it? Years
like
and years
Faxon
ago.
Brad Faxon used to win and stuff. Yeah.
So it's been a long term home, hasn't it? I think they like going here after the new year, don't they? The players and
the families as well.
Families, exactly. Yeah.
Was that? I'm sure back in our day, Mike, we used to be back in like Paul Stankowski, didn't we, for this event?
But I've got a strong bet in this.
Have you? Have you?
Mm.
Okay.
A really strong bet.
Do you see any attributes as key?
Well, scrambling is important here, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I was looking at Rob Bolton's stats, and he was saying that strokes gained tee to green were important here, which I hadn't noticed, but when I went and looked at it, they are quite important. Mm. So, but scrambling is the one I always have down for here myself. So what about you? What do you think?
I think putting. Because the greens are so big, I always see putting as a key. Putting and wedge play, really.
Yeah, but doesn't that just mean it levels the field a bit? Because you're putting for miles away rather than knocking in 15 footers all the time.
I wasn't too sure putting was that important, but certainly scrambling's always been important there, hasn't it? Mm. But... Yeah, I think in the last few years, putting's not necessarily... It's not been as much of a putting contest as people might think.
I want to hear Mike's pick, because I couldn't get excited about any price. So to hear that Mike is really bullish is good.
It could be the best price of the season on Jordan Spieth at 5-1,
I know what you mean.
It's an each-way steal on most of the evidence, isn't it? He was second here on his only effort here. He's fourth in the strokes, tee to green stats, and... fourth on the scrambling stats from 2015, not this season, not 2016. He's just a winning machine, isn't he? Or if he doesn't win, he gets placed. I just think he's fantastic each way value. What do you think?
No, I can see that. He's not my pick. I've got one pick in the event, but I can see him going very well.
My kind of slightly devil's advocate argument is that I was looking. He's won 7 times before, 6 on the PGA Tour, that Aussie Open win. In 5 of those, he'd played the week before. So he tends to win when the engine's running.
Possibly,
kind of
thing. Yeah.
But you're kind of saying, well, maybe you'll come second and you still get your money back win a little bit.
I can't see him being out of the first 4.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what you mean.
And you're making a profit. I know that each way betting at 5-1 is not maybe everyone's cup of tea on golf betting, but there's only 30 runners or so in this.
Is he a point bigger to win the Masters?
He's 6-1 for all the majors.
Yeah.
He's 5-1 to win this without Rory McIlroy and all the top Europeans, without all that problem of 154 other players, 55 other players to play against, without any worries about the draw, like you get in the Open where the draw and the wind screw you over. You think about it, he's got to be in the 4 pretty much, hasn't he? If he plays anything like...
I don't think Jason Day is kind of... It's the time to back him because...
About
he's just
to his wife?
When did you say that?
Yeah.
Yeah, with
LeBron James.
Yeah, LeBron James.
Yeah. sort of ploughing into her. Well, she was courtside, wasn't she?
Is she okay?
She's
now?
Okay. Yeah. She's okay. But that's got to have been a distraction, has it?
Yeah.
I mean, for example, Jordan Spieth, another thing is he's single, isn't he? You know, so he's been out practicing. I've seen Twitter. He's been playing on Boxing Day. He was out playing.
Yeah.
I think he's got a massive chance this week. He puts well. He scrambles well. Tee to green, he's great. It's not that long since he was playing, by the way. He was fourth in the World Challenge and second in Australia only about 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
You compare that to the six. What would you rather take? 5-1 on a course where he's only been second on his only outing. He's in great form, or 6-1 in any of the majors. I think he's very big. I think if I was pricing it, I'd have been about 7-2, maybe. You could argue he should even be lower than that. Threes, maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's an overstatement. But
given that we're a quarter, 1, 2, 3, 4, I would have kind like to have cut off the each way thieves and gone 7-2.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can just.
If he plays anything like he'll be in the four and you're making a slight profit. And I'd expect him to win, to be honest, because I think it's the kind of course that suits him. You know, I can't say any more than that. It's a strong bet, I think.
Yeah. Very nice, very nice. Jordan Spieth, 5-1.
Back in 5-1, win if you don't like doing each way on such a short price. But that is the bet for me. I definitely think each way profit if he's placed is very appealing.
Very nice, very nice. I like it a lot. 5-1, Jordan Spieth, strong bet from Mr. Grenham straight out of the gate there. In the new PGA Tour season.
Name, you're that excited.
Well, I enjoyed that.
I thought you might have picked him as well, Dave, to be honest.
I've had a few players on my mind. I've decided to go for a player at a bigger price. Not as big as I would have hoped for, though. Has been cut this morning. Jimmy Walker's my pick. At 25-1.
He played well here last year, didn't he?
Played very well. He should have won here last year, really. Yeah, I mean, he traded at 1-10 at one point and missed out in a playoff against Patrick Reed. He has been slightly out of form. Did lead into the weekend at the Hero World Challenge pretty recently. He's got everything I like in terms of game around Kapalua. A two-time winner of the Sony Open in Hawaii, which is another positive. Had this title in his grasp last year. And he's just a player to back early season. West Coast events. He is the man to have on side in the early parts of the year.
West Coast. He's stretching it slightly.
West
of America, man. I like it.
He's a player that scrambles well and puts well. Even when he didn't have his best season last season, putted brilliantly and scrambled fantastically well. Two of his 5 wins in Hawaii. He's won at other venues where the wind's a factor, the Valero Texas Open. Mm. So I like him a lot this week. Jimmy Walker's my headline selection here, 25-1.
Very good. Good chance finishing second.
Behind Jordan. You know what? I'll take the second behind Jordan Spieth, mate.
You'd be winning more than.
I would like that. Yeah. Quarter of the odds, 1, 2, 3, 4. I'll take the second.
Was he? 25s?
Yep.
I get all of that. That makes sense, yeah.
I'm going to go with GMAC.
Okay.
He was 25s. He's been cut to 22s, which isn't too bad. It's
not too bad.
Slightly annoying, but not enough to put me off. No. Yeah. McDowell had a bit of a rotten year last year, didn't he? But he did come on strong at the end. He won the OHL Classic in Mexico, and then he won the RSM Classic, just as a three-letter name tournament. So he was third in that one. So a win and a third to end with. So that's clearly a turnaround, and I think he was working hard. You got the sense something was coming. He was trying to find his way back, and he did.
Yeah.
And I was just looking at the way he started seasons before. So the last 5 years, this is his first tournament back. Tied ninth, tied seventh, third and third. So he does come out of the gates fast. Must just be able to get it right over Christmas and then know what's needed to start the year with a bang. And then, of course, one of those thirds was here at Kapalua. So he's played the course well. That year, 2011, he closed with a 62, which is 11 under, isn't it, on this course?
It is.
So obviously you can play the course well. You say about scrambling, obviously as a US Open winner he knows how to scramble. He's got a very, very short and tidy and crisp short game. As well as the 22-1, sometimes you think, oh, that's a decent each way price. He does know how to win, doesn't he, McDowell? He wins more than other people maybe of his level or total world ranking or earnings. He does win a lot. I mean, I think he won it. He won his fourth ever start on the European Tour. So it's something he's done throughout his career, whereas others have, you know, racked up a million and one top fives in majors like Westwood. Well, he went and won his, didn't he? He had the chance, wins the US Open. He's just a winner, so he's someone, if he does get near the lead, you're not just thinking, oh, well, hopefully he'll stay on and get an each-way place. He might just go and win, so I'm going to back that 22-1 with the hope that, you know, it's not just an each-way bet.
Yeah, I can see that. He was on my list, Graham McDowell, and Patrick Reed was the other one
Definitely Patrick Reed was high on my list. He won here last year, didn't he? And he's gone up in my estimation a lot in recent times. I think he's a very, very good player. But he's 9-1 and Spieth's fives.
Yeah,
that difference isn't big enough for my
liking. Oh, no, I agree with you there. 9-1 looks a bit short now. He's just had... he's had six top tens worldwide in his last six starts, Patrick Reed, and obviously...
turning into a really top player,
showed
isn't
he? Can win here.
So every chance, it's just the price that puts me off.
Obviously, this tournament, Appleby won it three times in a row.
Ogilvy defended,
back
didn't
to back, so you know, it is one of those tournaments that does produce defending champions going there and winning again.
We've seen different types of players win here, haven't we? We've seen players that whack it a mile, and then you've seen, you mentioned earlier, Jim Furyk and Zach Johnson.
But Dustin Johnson's won here, hasn't he?
When he won, I think he'd gone there like miles in advance. And Ricky Fowler's been there. I'm sure Ricky Fowler's been there like a month or something ridiculous.
He's been there a long time, hasn't he? I keep seeing pictures pop up on social media with him.
So he's won 12-1. Other little sort of tidbits: Brooks Koepka, who I think's a good price, but he's changed equipment to Nike with Tony Fee now. But I don't necessarily think that's bad.
No, there's a few players like that in this field, because
people think it's short-term bad maybe, but I'm not even convinced it is short-term bad.
No, you don't think so?
Not necessarily.
A few of these players in here have changed to Parsons Extreme Golf as well. Have you seen that? Zach Johnson has gone with...
I knew he changed, didn't know it was to that.
Yeah, he's gone with PXG Golf. I think there's a couple of others as well that maybe not in this field.
Yeah.
But there's eight of them in total. Billy Horschel has gone to them. Ryan Moore was the first one to go. Chris Kirk, who's in the field this week, has also switched to PXG Golf. So it'd be interesting to see how they cope with new equipment. It is always...
I've never heard of them.
It is always an unknown. No, it's the guy that owns GoDaddy.
Not Nicholas Parsons, then.
It's not Nicholas Parsons. It's the guy that owns GoDaddy, Bob Parsons. And he's now built a golf club manufacturer.
Right.
And there's a few players that have gone to him.
Interesting. Must have some money to lure. Yes.
Lots of money. Lots of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, must have.
Just on that, we tend to always focus on the people who swap clubs and did badly, and you think it's some sort of morality tale. You chase the money, look what happened. But Ernie Els changed his clubs before this event in 2003 and shot 31 under and won by 8. So, you know, for every time it doesn't go well, there are other occasions when it's clearly a good thing.
Yeah, it wouldn't necessarily put me off at all. Of the bigger prices, did anyone catch your eye?
No, I not really, to be honest. I think this is quite top heavy. I can see a lot of the runners at the front of the field going, well, you've obviously made the case for Jordan Spieth. Yep. We've talked about Patrick Reed a little bit as well. Bubba Watson?
Bubba must have a chance anywhere. His record here isn't phenomenal, is it?
He's got fourth.
Yeah, but three fairly moderate finishes when you look at the size of the field. He only finished 10th last year, but in a 30-runner field, that's not brilliant, is it, really?
It's strange, though, isn't it? He didn't think he liked the course in the Bahamas, and then he won.
Yeah.
So he's got
so long to himself.
He's long to himself. Not sure he scrambles quite well enough. That would be my worry,
you'd say that about Dustin Johnson, wouldn't you? You wouldn't have thought he was, you know, cute enough around the greens.
No, you wouldn't.
But he won.
But they're all good enough to, on a given week, to scramble well, aren't they, those players? They're massively talented. Again, you know, I just think... I think that's an excellent price on Spieth when you compare it to some of the others there. I just think he's almost certain to be in the top four. No, there's no such thing as almost certain, is it? But I think he's got an excellent chance of being in the top four, and you've got a good run against the others, you know. If I was to go for a wild outsider, Scott Piercy maybe at 66. He's 50, sorry.
50, yeah. Been cut a little bit.
Yeah. But the bottom 10 or so are a bit weak, aren't they? When you look at Davis Love's in there, Padraig Harrington, those guys.
It's a a bit sort of like, couldn't see them 10 years ago, yeah, wasn't it?
There's a couple of others as well that aren't absolute top level, but the top of the market is really strong.
5-1 joint favourites at the top of the betting. Jason Day and Jordan Spieth at the head of the market. So one pick each in this event. Mike going with Jordan Spieth. Confident bet. You've got to, the staking has got to match the confidence, surely.
2.5 points each way. How about that? Is that fair?
That's fair. 2.5 points each way. I'm going to go with.
I could even have gone higher.
Yeah.
But we'll stick.
If it's the bet of the season,
I hope you will. It is only the first week.
Don't need too far, do.
Yeah. I'll go with Jimmy Walker, point each way at 25s, and Dave.
Yeah, point each way, Graham McDowell.
It's the bet of the season so far.
Yeah, precisely.
And we the calendar year.
We treat this as the calendar year. This season starts here.
I can't get my head around that starting the season in.
It makes no sense. It's stupid.
Whenever it is,
it's stupid. Yeah. Really,
I'm slightly exaggerating for effect. He's only 5-1, isn't he? But I just think there's a lot in his favour. So we'll see how we go.
And Dave obviously got a bet in the BMW South African Open as well.
Yeah, a point each way, Trevor Fisher Jr. at 50-1.
It's very nice indeed. Thank you, folks, for tuning into the first podcast of the new season or the new year. You can follow us on Twitter, of course.
Player, we don't want to win. You haven't forgotten. You always forget that, don't you?
Mine would be Patrick Reed, I think.
Yeah, I'd be with you there.
Yeah, I think he'd be mine.
Almost the same. Yeah.
He could easily win, but 9-1 is probably...
Chance. Yeah, 9-1 is just enough to put me off, just about.
Okay, yeah. Maybe have a quick save on Patrick Reed then, given he's the player we don't want to win this week.
Don't want you to win double on Reed and Brandon Grace.
Oh, you like those little doubles, don't you, on weeks like this? Grace is 7-2 here with William Hill and Reed at 9-1. You can follow us on Twitter, please do, at D Kellner, at M Grenham, at Dave Tindall Golf, and we'll be back. I think it's 36 straight weeks with golf on a Sunday on the PGA Tour.
Is that right? Because this tournament was finishing on a Monday.
I think this is the first year it's gone Thursday, Sunday.
For a while, yeah. Well, they should finish on a Sunday, shouldn't they? That's the rightful day.
It is the rightful day.
Although for us it's 3 a.m, Monday morning, isn't it?
It is, this event is in Hawaii, but still, Sunday is a good day to finish golfing.
If he's tied after 54 holes, are you staying up, Mike,
to watch Jordan Spieth?
Yeah.
No, I'll just wake up to check my winnings in the morning.
Yeah. Quite exciting, I like that idea. Don't it, when you wake up, you just want to see...
Scrolling down the leaderboard.
See, he's holding that trophy up with that thing around the neck that they get in Hawaii, which I can't think of. What's it called?
I know what you're thinking of.
Yeah, Garland.
More often, though, you're scrolling down the leaderboard to see, why have they finished out of the top 8?
That's it.
And they're losing by 4, going in the final round.
Yeah, hope there's some sort of concession when a player withdraws. Yeah. Like right at the bottom of the leaderboard. Thank you for listening, folks. At D Kellner, at M Grenham, at Dave Tindall Golf. Remember, you can download this via iTunes or check us out at audioboom.com by typing in William Hill. And myself, Mike and Dave, back for more action next week. Thank you for listening, and we'll catch up again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.